Okay, I'm going to call the meeting to order. It is February 28th, 2023, and it's 7 p.m. We're at the Genoa Township Hall, located at 5111 South Old 3C Highway in Westerville, 43082. We have two items on the agenda tonight. The first is BZA case number 2023-02, which is an area variance. Rick and Jane, is it Weiland?
Weiland.
I knew I'd get it wrong. I had a 50% chance. And this is the first meeting, and then discussion of a potential administrative appeal. Staff present is Susan Dorch, also Paul Benson, and from the Delaware County Prosecutor's Office, Mark Fowler. I will call the roll. Mr. Phillips?
Here.
Ms. Driscoll?
Here.
Ms. Yu?
Here.
Mr. Carlson?
Here.
And absent is Dave Boone and Paul Hansen, and the chair is present. Okay, let me read this into the record. As is the adopted policy of the Board of Zoning Appeals, all applicants will be granted an opportunity to make their formal presentation. The audience will then be granted an opportunity to comment, followed by questions from the board. This policy was adopted by the Board of Zoning Appeals to provide for the orderly discussion of business scheduled for consideration. The chairperson, me, may limit repetitive debate. The first item to be considered is to review and approve the meeting minutes from our last meeting on January 24th, 2023. And I'll give you a moment and then to review those, and then I will entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve the January minutes from the January 24th meeting.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Dorothy seconds. Okay. Any revisions, any comments, any discussion on those? Okay. All in favor of approval of the minutes from January 24th, 2023, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Abstain.
And Mr. Phillips abstains. Okay. And at this time, I'll call the hearing to order for our first case at 7:04 p.m. And this is I'll read the legal notice into the record. Rick and Jane, no, that's tonight's. Donald Ray Nichols and Catherine C. Dixon requesting approval of a variance
no,
to...
No, you're reading the minutes.
Oh.
You were right the first time.
I was right the first time. Okay, well, I'm here all week. Okay. Yeah, apparently it's been a longer day than I thought. Rick and Jane Weiland requesting approval of a variance to add cupolas to an existing accessory building. The addition of the proposed cupolas will cause the accessory building to exceed the maximum limiting height of an accessory building at 9500 Britton Woods Drive, Galena, Ohio, 43021, which is currently zoned rural residential, RR, and this is BZA case 2023-02. Those that wish to testify in this matter, please stand and raise your right hand. Okay, sir, it's a no? Okay. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Okay, you seem, thank you. Okay, the legal notice for this hearing was printed and published on February 12, 2023 in the Delaware Gazette and posted at the Genoa Township Hall on February 6, 2023. An attempt to mail notice of this hearing to property owners contiguous to and across the street from the subject property was also made. And we're accepting into this evidence the following marked exhibits, A through Z, D, not Z, D, which includes the legal notice, the sign-in sheet, application, and the staff report dated February 21st, 2023. And we'll begin with the staff report.
Thank you, Mark. As noted in the legal notice, the subject property is 9500 Lot 7978 in the Britton Woods subdivision. It's a 2.196 acre lot and it is in the rural residential zoning district. Britton Woods was platted in January of 2019. According to the Delaware County Auditor's website, the subject property was purchased by Rick and Jane Wyland in Wheeling in February 2019.
We'll be doing that all night.
We're going to go to the meat market. Wyland's meats.
Zoning permit 2019-207 was issued on August 2nd, 2019 for the construction of a new single-family residence and a 5558 accessory building. A revision to the zoning permit for the addition of a deck was issued in June of 2020. A residential improvement application 2022-309 requesting the addition of two cupolas to the accessory building was denied on January 5th, 2023. The variance application that we received was to add those cupolas to the accessory building, and it's section 1609 states that the maximum height of an accessory building on a lot of under 3 acres will be a maximum of 22 feet. The variance application, he is requesting a variance to allow a limited height of an existing building. The proposed accessory building would be 7.3% taller than allowed for the current Genoa Township zoning resolution. An evaluation of the zoning standards in effect when the existing accessory building was constructed and the current zoning standards are included in the denial letter dated January 4th, 2023, and we were provided with a copy of that letter. So basically, the zoning code, the way the height of a building was calculated was, it was an average between, actually, let me just read it. Was the vertical distance from the average elevation of the finished grade at the front of the building to the highest point of a flat roof, the deck line of a mansard roof, the average height between eaves and ridge for a gable hip or a gable roof, and the average height between high and low points for a shed roof. So when the accessory building in question was built, that was the definition And then in October of, October 31st, 2020, the code was amended and the new definition measures the code for the height of the building at the highest elevation from the front elevation to the highest point. So there's no longer this averaging between roof lines. So
I can't imagine how you would enforce that. I mean, how somebody looking at that could understand what the height requirement is in the old code.
Okay, but that's so
just my opinion. Just my opinion.
That's fine. So under the old definition, which is what the building was built under, the cupolas could have been added because we have another section of the code that gives some exemptions for like cupolas and other kind of decorative features on the top of the building so they can extend another 4 feet. And that's
but they revised the code to just 22 feet, is that my understanding?
So that's Article 16.
Yeah, 16.1601.
So that's why we're here tonight, because the definition of how the height is measured. So the current building under the new code is 24 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So even with the exception, the cupolas are taller than they would allow for the cupolas.
Okay, just so, because I don't do this all day, so we're going to have to roll back. Is that, what's the maximum height the building can be under the current code? Is it 22 feet?
22 feet for okay, so, anything under 3 acres.
Okay, so the building in and of itself is non-compliant. Correct with the current code, not as
so
not
it was
prior.
Compliant,
right, it was,
the permit was
under the
issued,
right.
But now it would be existing.
Okay, and to extend that up makes it more non-compliant under the code, and that's why we're here. Correct.
We can't
asking
issue
staff
the zoning permit for those because it would exceed the amount that's
okay.
allowed.
I got you. All right, and what? How tall are the cupolas?
3'7", I think.
7 feet.
3'11". Oh, I believe.
Well, she's not going to interrupt you, so.
Can I correct you?
Forty-7.5 inches, right?
That's
the proposed.
Right, so it's 47.5, is that correct? That's what the drawing says.
Correct.
Okay, so.
Wait, so the current building is 24 feet high, right?
Measured under the new depth.
Under the new depth, right.
Okay, so you're 2 feet over, I guess my point is you're really more than, what's the variance? 7%, right?
Yes.
It will actually, if this is constructed, it will be a total of 47.5 feet, and
inches.
Yeah, not feet.
Inches.
Almost 4 feet more.
Okay, hold on. Give me a second here. I'm trying. Trying to, okay, it's 47 inches off the roof.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay, so it's 4 feet plus 2 feet that's going to be non-compliant. It's going to be 6 feet that's not compliant with the current code. And I realize it was built under the old code, but. but bear with me. Is that a correct statement?
So it's 22 feet, so he's already got right. 2 feet extra,
correct? Right.
So about 6.
Right, okay, all right, we're on the same page. Now, let me ask you this, because I don't know, I don't have any information about this, and so I'm going to ask the question that maybe you can or cannot answer. Where did the 22 feet come from? Was that an arbitrary number? Was that a number somebody thought was a good idea?
Okay,
and that's the zoning commission revised, and did they have any criteria?
It's 23 years, it's been there the whole entire time.
Okay. And I've been around a couple minutes myself, so I get that. It's the code that we're living with, though, and I understand that. And that's really why we're here. Okay, because honestly, for me, and I'm not a builder, I'm not a staff at a zoning department, I have a little bit of knowledge in real estate, enough to be dangerous. But that other formula, and I see why I would have revised it, too, long ago. That other formula, you could read me that until next week, and I probably wouldn't be able to figure it out and do it correctly and build correctly based on that formula. So I understand the necessity. I just don't understand where the 22 feet comes from. That's all.
I'm sure there was something at some point in time, but I don't have any
long before both of us, probably. Yeah. And well, I guess we've been here longer than pretty much anybody in the room. So, okay, that's just what I wanted to clarify. But, like I said, we actually, the non-compliance based on the current code is actually 6 feet, not 4.
No, I want to clear you up on that, Mark. So there's two heights that are part of this. The building is allowed to be 22 feet. There's an exception with the cupolas. You can go 4 feet above that.
And the cupolas
is currently 2 feet too tall. So with cupolas, it can be 26 feet.
So what you're telling me, Paul, is that with the cupola, it's really only 2 feet non-compliant.
Correct.
Because the building itself originally was non-compliant to the current code, but it was compliant to the old code.
Correct.
Okay.
If we hadn't changed the definition of height, the building height, then it would be fine.
Was that changed during the course of construction?
It was changed in 2020. They changed it when they were doing the Genoa Baptist's big sanctuary expansion is when they changed the definition.
And I know you said that. So, and I. And he pulled a permit in 19. I remember that, but I don't know. He was probably in the midst of construction when he built it.
Yeah.
Or when the code changed.
And you're wanting to add a cupola because it's on the house, too. It make it look better.
We're talking this stuff.
Oh, sorry. What? Yeah. Sorry.
We're not there yet. Okay.
So the cupolas themselves are currently conforming. They're less than the 4 feet, right? 47.
Well, they're not there.
No, I know, but the proposed cupolas, I guess, would be.
If the way the height was measured hadn't changed,
uh-huh.
He could have added the cupolas under 16.01A,
okay.
Which is an exception for a certain
kind of
architecture.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
I got it.
Anybody? Yeah, I'm what's the roof line now? Is it 22, 24, 26? What's the existing roof line?
24.
It's 24.
As we measure today.
Okay, and he wants to put a 4 foot cupola on top, so it'll be 28 to the top of the cupola.
Like, it's like 3.5.
No, it's
47.5. I just rounded up to 48.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so that'll be 28 feet. You said 24 plus 4, is that what you said? So it'll be 28 feet. And what could they build those cupolas at today? That going back to Mark's question, are we talking about 2 feet that's non conforming?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we're talking about 2 feet. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You got it.
Okay. On the second page, behind the one that says the 47.5 inches, there's another cupola that says 70 inches. What's that?
I think he's giving you that for reference. That's what's on his house.
That's what's on the existing
house.
Pictures?
No. On that, there are also existing cupolas on
it. Oh, yeah. It says down at the bottom, existing house cupola.
Oh, existing house. Okay, good. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I've seen those, but I didn't know what this was, the 70 inches. Mm-hmm. I see the existing house. Okay.
I think it's just for reference, so you can tell that they're kind of scaled down to fit the size of that building. Uh-huh.
So this variance is for 23 and a half inches, an additional 23 and a half inches.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm clear. Thank you.
Michael, anything? Okay. I guess you're up, Mr. Whelan.
We're up. Well, I think you guys have been, you know, pretty much informed on everything that we have there. Yeah, the idea is to match, to add two cupolas on my garage. And like Susan said, when we filled out the first permit, my garage was compliant in the zoning codes and stuff. So we built it at that size. So it's 24 foot tall. So when we came in to get the permit for the cupolas now, since they redid the code during that period of time, they've changed that height, which makes my garage 2 feet too high compared to the new codes right now.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
Why didn't you build the cupolas when you built the garage?
We really couldn't afford them at that time. Plus, we kind of wanted to wait to see how they were going to look. The cupola that we put on the house had to be ordered. And it took forever to get the thing. It was right in the middle of COVID and stuff going on. It took us a long time to get it. So we kind of wanted to see how that one looked.
Prefab, preformed.
Yeah, they're preformed. They're built down in, like in, I think this one comes from North Carolina, and they ship it up to us. It's all pre-made. It's a very nice cupola and stuff. And it turned out really nice and stuff. So we really didn't have that at that time to see. So we built a garage and stuff, and then, you know, cost-wise and that type of business. Then once we got the cupola on the garage or the house, and built a garage. The garage roof just looks kind of plain and stuff there in a way. So this is a way to break it up. So we talked to the architect. I had an architect work with me and designed it, and he just reduced that one on the house about 33% in size-wise. And the guy down who was building it agreed that that was a good proportion and stuff for my building and stuff that I have there and stuff. So that's the size that we proposed, and it fell. Like Susan said, there's a 4 feet increment above the buildings that you're allowed to encroach in that area with spires and cupolas and parapet walls and stuff. So this one just happened to fall pretty close or right in there as far as that under the 4 foot stuff.
Can you build it smaller or can you put it lower on the roof?
I think it would look too squatty on the roof for the size of the buildings.
Just asking.
Yeah, you can always make them, but we wanted the architect, that's why we had the architect involved, just for proportions and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, so that you get something that looks nice with both of them up there and stuff. And it'll be a lot smaller, you know, from the one on the, you know, that's why I sent you those other existing measurements from the existing cupola and stuff in there too. You know, you go on one that's about 46 inches wide and this one comes down to about 30 inches. So it'll be, you know, a good difference and stuff, but it'll still be a nice size.
You're essentially going to do, I assume, something similar to the existing one on the house.
It'll match them exactly,
the,
right?
Up at the peak.
Yeah, to be that drawing that's right up on their chart right there.
It's not. Oh, okay. That it's not going to be cut into the roof, per se.
We notch the bottoms of those things when they send them to you, and they sit right over top your roof. Okay. Then you can bolt them down and stuff up on there and stuff. Okay. So it's a nice little setup. Mm-hmm. And they're all made out of AZAC material and stuff nowadays, so they don't rot out like the old ones and stuff. They're actually maintenance-free and stuff. It's got a nice little black metal roof and stuff on them. They work out really nice. But the whole issue with the variance is because of that zoning change on the heights of the buildings. And that was a good question you had, Mark, as far as where did they come up with that 22 feet? Because if we look at Orange Township, they have a building height, same as we do, for 35 foot high is the building height for all the houses and stuff. That's a maximum height that you can build a house.
But that's houses. This is an accessory.
Right, building. And they have 35 feet in their code for accessory buildings also. So, and what happens a lot of times on our new houses, we're building, I have an 812 pitch, which is more of a steeper pitch and stuff on there. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you get a higher roof then and stuff. Especially my house is a ranch and I have a 812 pitch, and I'm still 30 feet tall with the ranch for my existing house. So when I do a garage with an 812 pitch, it's hard to get it, especially when you're building a slightly bigger building and stuff. Mm-hmm. It encroaches up in the height of that stuff pretty fast. So we've even talked to the Zoning Commission about reconsidering some of those height limits on that stuff. Because like you said, the first formula, you have to be an architect really to figure that out.
And mansard roofs, the kitchen.
Shed roofs and all that type of stuff. But the current code they have now, kind of, you could build a shed roof up at 22 feet high also, which is kind of unsightly to have a two-story garage with a shed roof up at 22 feet. So there's you know, pluses and minuses somewhere, so. But in the spirit of the zoning stuff, I think our stuff would fit up there fine, and hopefully in the future, they'll probably, if they change the zoning back to different heights, then my garage would be more conforming at that time instead of non-conforming at that time. And I still wouldn't be encroaching more than the 4 feet that's allowed for the other section for the cupolas and stuff.
Anybody else have any questions for the applicant? Teresa, no? Mark?
No.
Okay, any members of the audience have any comments regarding the application? I'll take that as a no. Okay, all right. You were here last month, you know what happens now. We go into discussions, we have questions for you, we'll let you know otherwise. Yeah, okay, discussion.
I think it looks good. It to me, it looks like it adds to be similar, you know, it's a smaller cupola than the house, and it ties it all together. And if you look at, if you could have built it in 2020, that makes a lot of sense to be able to do it now.
And I think her point got caught in the midst of a change,
yeah,
which isn't their fault.
Well, okay. I don't know. I don't have a lot in the way of discussion on this application either. I think when he applied, the fact that it was conforming when he applied for the permit,
that's right,
is an issue. I think that the, for me, and I'm just, I don't have any knowledge. I'm not an architect. I don't, you know, I'm a lay person. I think for me personally, and I know staff doesn't agree, I think that the original code was vague. As far as the way it was calculated. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely understand the necessity to determine a number. Now, is that number realistic? Is it fair? Is it right? I don't know, because I don't know where that number came from. And so at that point, I think that, especially in light of the fact that he was in the course of construction when the zoning code changed, For me, that makes a pretty substantial argument that we should probably do this. Because had we been here in 2019, we wouldn't be here, because he would be already have constructed it. And I'm not on the architectural committee for the township, because there isn't one. The aesthetics are always important, and I think that this conforms to the neighborhood and the township. I don't think it's an atypical improvement. I don't know how much bang you get for the buck, because I don't know what those cost, but by the same token, maybe I like him and he doesn't, or maybe he likes him and I don't. And I don't think that's especially relevant, except with the conformance piece. So I think that's, anybody else having, those are my comments.
Nope.
Just for my own clarification, he was already granted a variance for the other cupolas? No.
Everything else was
conforming.
Compliant with the code, because there's a difference in the height requirement. Make sure I understand this correctly. The height requirement is different for the house than for the accessory building.
House is 35 feet.
Right.
The only thing that changed is how that height is determined. The actual heights did not change.
Right.
So the house is 35 feet maximum. Accessory building is 22 foot maximum on an acre, less than 3 acres.
Right.
Once you get over 3 acres, then the accessory building can go up to that 35 foot height also.
I did note in the staff comments, and I want to make sure that we discuss this if even briefly, that a variance for these cupolas is a variance for these cupolas only.
Right.
No other additions, structures, whatever. Anything other than these two cupolas that we're considering would be another application.
Right.
Let's see. Limits the height and limit the height variance to what he has submitted to us. So 47 and a half inches is going to be 47 and a half inches. And I think that covers staff's comment and item C, which I agree with. So, anybody else? Anybody? Anybody wish to make a motion on the application? Teresa?
You're going to do Duncan versus Middlefield?
Pardon? Oh, right. Yeah, well, that would... Oh, right. I guess we do need to go through Duncan versus Middlefield, do we not? Anybody want to do that? Not me?
I can take a stab at it.
Thank you, Mark.
As
soon as I find my script.
Okay.
The board reviewed section 307.06 of the zoning resolution reflecting Duncan versus Middlefield. As it pertains to the area variance requested from section 1609.01D with reference to 1616.01A to allow for an accessory building with cupolas to be 28 feet high in a rural residential RR zoning district as follows. The first point, the property in question would yield a reasonable return, and there can be beneficial uses of property without the variance. The building's up, constructed, functional, so it is yielding a reasonable return for the structure itself, and it does have a beneficial use. The variance is not substantial. I think staff calculated it at a little over 7%, correct? Okay, so in the overall scheme of things, it's not substantial. C, the essential character of the neighborhood would not be substantially altered, and the adjoining properties would not suffer a substantial detriment as a result of the variance. The two cupolas would be consistent in appearance with the two that are already existing on the house.
Right.
So it would seem to me to stay in conformity from an architectural standpoint, and I think that would probably benefit the neighborhood rather than being a substantial detriment. Other comments?
No, I'm with you.
Okay.
I agree.
Me too.
Kind of stated that earlier that it's, you know, it would blend in with the existing neighborhood.
Right. The variance would not adversely affect the delivery of governmental services. I believe staff notified.
I didn't say that. Yes. Police, fire, maintenance all received notification. They all got a copy of the variance application, and no one had any comments or concerns.
Okay. The property owner did purchase the property with knowledge of the zoning restriction.
Did not? Because...
No. They changed on it.
They changed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when
he purchased it, this was not...
Yeah,
it
changed.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay.
I would agree.
We finally have
a
did not.
I was
going to
say,
that's the one.
Okay, so I would agree the property owner did not purchase the property with knowledge of the zoning restriction.
Of this zoning resolution.
The property owner's predicament cannot be feasibly obviated through a method other than the variance.
Because it can't happen.
I think we asked, could you lower the cupolas, and it just wouldn't. Look right.
Yeah, the option is no cupolas.
And any cupola added would still need a variance.
No.
No. Oh. Only above two. Only above 24
feet above.
Inches.
A 2 foot one.
Yeah. But it just wouldn't look right.
Spirit
and intent behind the zoning requirement would be observed, and substantial justice would be done by granting the variance. Again, I think it's consistent with the rest of the house or the house structure itself.
Sure.
I contend that that's where it would be. So Mark, did we move to the motion, I guess, with that? Do you want me to make the motion?
I can make the motion.
Okay, Tracy, go ahead.
I move to incorporate exhibits A through D, as well as the board's findings pertaining to the review of section 307.06 of the Genoa Township zoning resolution into evidence and to approve the requested variance from section 1609.01D with reference to section 1616.01A of the Genoa Township zoning resolution for BZA 2023-02, application received January 25th, 2023, to allow for an accessory building with cupolas to be 28 feet high on property known as Lot 7978 in Britton Woods Subdivision, 9500 Britton Woods Drive, Galena, Ohio, 43021, zoned rural residential. The motion is based on the following findings of fact pursuant to section 307.04 of the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution, that such variance or modification will not be contrary to the public interest, because the statements we went over, the Duncan versus Middlefield, that this is limited to a cupola feature on a garage that exists, that owing to special conditions, a literal enforcement of this zoning resolution will result in an unnecessary hardship. This is where I struggled. Because without it, the cupolas would be just 2 feet in height, kind of squat, unattractive.
Right.
That the approval of such variance or modification thereof is consistent with the spirit of the zoning resolution and substantial justice shall be done thereby, because at the time of the construction, this permit was issued, adding the cupolas would have been in conformance, and they have since changed. So approval of the subject variance is subject to the owner's agreement of the following conditions. So one, all required permits, zoning or otherwise, be obtained pursuant to section 307.11 of the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution. The approved variance shall lapse, expire, and be null and void ab initio if required zoning permits are not obtained within 1 year of this motion of approval. Extensions to this variance may be requested pursuant to sections 307.11.A and B of the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution as may be amended. The Board of Zoning Appeals does grant the Genoa Township Zoning Inspector authority to extend this variance at their discretion, subject to the deadlines established within section 307.11.A of the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution as may be amended, and that the 4 foot exceptions listed in Article 16, Section 1616.01 cannot be applied to add any additional height to the subject accessory building.
I'll second it.
Hold on.
Yeah, I'd like to add one.
Corollary
to yours, but this variance applies only to these two cupolas and to no other structures.
Okay. Yep.
So, and this variance only applies to the two cupolas proposed in the application.
Right. For a max, did you say maximum 4 feet? I think you did.
Yes.
All right. Any discussion? Dorothy seconded the motion.
Yeah.
Any discussion? Any other revisions? Anything else?
Call the vote.
Guess I'll call the roll. Mr. Carlson?
Yes.
Ms. Driscoll?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Ms. Yu?
Yes.
Chair votes yes. Motion's carried.
That's it.
Okay. And the hearing is concluded at 7:37 p.m. Okay, the next item of business is an administrative appeal. And what I'm gonna do is I wanna take about a 5 minute break, and in the interim give everyone, because I know the email, there was an opinion letter that came out very late today. I wanna give everyone an opportunity to read it. And
okay, so I read it at home.
And then we can go into Mr. Fowler's presentation. And then, so we'll break for a few minutes. I don't need it, thank you. And then we'll come, I printed it, I know.
Just take it.
So, okay, at this time, we're going to adjourn for a few minutes. And Mike, turn your... Okay, we're back. It is 7:45. Boy, the glare is right on that clock. And now we'll hear from Mr. Fowler.
Thank you, Mr. Welcome. Chair. Thank you.
Again.
I know, right?
Yeah, I know.
We hadn't seen each other in a really long time.
Coming in here.
So I do want to preface the discussion with something I had put in the footnote, and that's that we're not really going to, at least I hope we don't talk about any of the meat and potatoes of the appeal application because we didn't notice it as the hearing, and right. We didn't give Mr. Wieland any, we notified him it wouldn't be the full hearing. So, and it might be frustrating to you that you don't have a lot of the information, but it's really just a preliminary procedural thing in my opinion. So I think you saw, I kind of wrote a procedural history of what happened, and just so Mr. Wieland knows what I told them is, he had called the zoning department and had made essentially a complaint about zoning, what he felt was a zoning violation. It was investigated by Zoning Inspector Schaefer. Ultimately, Zoning Inspector Schaefer determined it was not a violation, sent a letter to the agents for the homeowners, and then several months later, Mr. Wieland reached out and said, when is the decision going to be made? And was told that the decision had been made, notice had been sent to the property owners, and then an appeal came on February 3rd, I believe. And so it is my opinion that that appeal is late. There's a 20-day window within which to appeal a decision of the zoning inspector under the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution, and the appeal in this case was filed 126 days later. So it's a weird circumstance. My justification is that a complaint, and it happens all the time, you know, people call zoning and make a complaint, and then zoning follows up. But I can find no law. There's nothing in the zoning resolution. And I also asked Joe and Susan if there's any custom for any follow-up communication or a letter to complainants, and the answer was no. So I don't see any obligation on the behalf of the zoning department to send a notification or letter that would notify a third party, really, is what it is. And so because the appeal is late, it is my opinion that you don't have jurisdiction and you should dismiss the appeal.
Okay. Is this where we can go into discussion then, or ask questions?
Or absolutely, whatever? Absolutely.
I got this afternoon like everybody else did. And I'll just throw a couple of items out that I made a few notes. First of all, and maybe you can answer this, Susan, and if you can't, if it starts that we're going into a hearing, stop me.
Okay,
because I do not want to go into a hearing because we haven't noticed it, and I don't want to have a hearing on the case.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, this is to determine if we should.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. My question is, and like I said, if you can't answer, just tell me no. Do we know how it was conveyed to the zoning department? Was it in writing? Was it by phone? Was it by mail? Was it by carrier pigeon that Mr. Wieland advised of what he perceived as a zoning violation?
I'm not real. I wasn't involved in that a lot.
Okay.
I'll say I believe that it was initially a phone call.
Okay. But
I can speak more on that. Mr. Wieland came in and he brought us trust drawings that he had received for the buildings that were being constructed and showed us how those trust drawings made the height of the building higher than, or his opinion, higher than what the allowable height was. Okay. And so we reviewed those, so, and then Mr. Schaefer and I went out and looked at the houses.
Hold on. All I want to know is how he conveyed the variance. Or the potential violation.
Yep. In person.
Okay, in person. That tells me exactly what I wanted to know. I don't want to know anything else about it. Okay. And you know, I've been around the township for a couple minutes, and I know that these things are, in fact, I have personal knowledge that these things are followed up in a expedient manner here. They don't lay around. We're not big enough to where it takes months and months and months. And so I guess my point with saying, with asking how it was conveyed and the timing of how long it, because 126 days is a long time in my world. If it's that egregious, I'm thinking that I would have been every week, every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks. And then I understood from the letter that there an attorney became involved. And I'm wondering, and I'm kind of thinking out loud on a couple of these, so bear with me. Did the attorney research the code, research our code? I mean, because it's, like I said, it's not a couple of days or a couple of weeks. We're almost 4 months down the road before the follow, hey, whatever happened with that? And I think that's an issue. For me, it's an issue.
Can I speak to that?
I think that's...
It's up to you.
I mean, if this was an informal meeting, I'd like...
I don't want to make this a hearing.
No. I understand. I'm not going to get any facts of the case, but I'm just speaking to your timeline and your questions about that stuff that I think you need to hear kind of from my side of what happened on it. So. Really?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, really.
Because I mean, it would clear up some of the stuff as far as your timeline questions. So.
Well, let's
move on. It's not any evidence that that happened, you know. So.
Well, I think it would cross that line into evidence. Do you guys agree? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If you think I'm wrong, you guys tell me.
I do think you should hear from him.
Okay.
To protect our integrity.
Okay.
And at least we allowed him to speak.
All right.
No facts.
Exactly.
Okay.
All procedural.
All right. I will defer. I will.
We'll start at the beginning, and then and Paul, if he's still back there, can justify this stuff too. I came to knowledge that these buildings were being constructed over a limit, so I approached Paul.
That's evidence. That's the hearing.
Starting
getting in the weeds.
Okay. Anyways, if I approached Paul, met him here. And then I made calls to the prosecutor's office to determine what was going on with it.
That's right.
So I never got any calls back. I talked to Joe Schaefer.
You notified the prosecutor's office.
That's
all we want to hear about.
I notified the
prosecutor. You notified them by phone.
I talked to Joe Schaefer about
it.
This went on and on and on. Never got a decision. Nothing was privileged for me. Nobody gave me any decision on it. Then I find out after the fact that you have 20 days to do it. But I was never privileged to any information for the 20 days.
I'm going to jump in right there, because we get applicants. I've been on this board for 12 years. And we get applicants in here every month.
Not for this. Not for
now, appeals. I'm talking, this is when you listen, okay? It's not a discussion.
It kind of is tonight for us. This is
no, it is not.
For this purpose,
Mr. Wheeling, it is not.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's not a discussion. It's a discussion among these five people. We're going to make a decision. Okay. If we want facts from you, we'll ask for them. But it's not an opportunity for you to join in our discussion.
Go ahead.
So we get what I started to say was we get applicants in here every month for the last 12 years that I've been on this board. And one of the things that I hear consistently is, I didn't know. I didn't know what the code said. I didn't know it was a violation. And here we are again. I didn't know that it was a violation. Well, ignorance of the law is no excuse for me. Now, I'm only one vote. You guys can do whatever you want.
It's also public. All this stuff is on the internet.
Correct.
Available to see at any time.
Correct.
Not their decision.
Okay.
All recorded.
The procedure is.
Huh?
You can get a copy.
It's right in the zoning code, and you can. It's online.
I can't appeal a procedure.
I think they're telling us we're not allowed to
see
hear
it. What the timing is. Just like we can. These books, I'm sure, are available here. I'm sure that they
Joe sent me a letter where I couldn't. He says I can't see it. Joe Schaefer told me I can't see it.
You can see what the procedure is, that the appeal had to be filed within 20 days.
That has nothing to do with his decision. I couldn't see his decision. I could never see his decision anywhere until my attorney got involved. And then we got his decision. So I was never, any time I could never see his decision, ever, until my attorney asked for it. Then I saw his decision 100 days afterward. So how can I file an appeal within 20 days?
Okay, and along with this 20 days, and I may or may not agree with the 20 days, just like I may or may not have agreed with the height standard on the last application. But, and it doesn't matter what I agree with. You know, the appeal process under the code is a finite length of time. It is not an infinite. Well, I didn't know it. I didn't realize it was only 20 days. It wasn't as though this isn't day 25 or day 22. This is day 126, which to me, it would be, if it was that egregious a violation, a supposed violation, because nobody, apparently it wasn't, because nobody in the township decided that it was. If it was that egregious a violation, then I would think that that would be something that would be followed up in much less than 126 days.
See, I was never given any information to where I could file an appeal. I had to have a decision made by the zoning inspector in order to file an appeal on that. And he never issued one to me that I could have, ever.
Okay.
Until my attorney got involved.
You guys, go ahead, Mark.
No, I was going to say, you should go forward with the rest of your points.
Well,
let's move on with the rest of your points.
All right.
Let's move on.
But this is someone else's decision. It's not ours. He's saying it's not our decision.
No,
it's,
well, what we're deciding, though, is whether or not we're going to hear a case.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And frankly, like, and I'm going to say it again. I've said it three times already. I'm going to say it again. If this was day 25, then I'd be much more inclined to listen to that. But we're at day 126. When, you know, and the here... I didn't know. Here it is.
No, it's not that I didn't know. I wasn't privileged to it. I know the zoning codes. I know the codes.
Okay.
I was never privileged to the information to have it, to file it in that period of time. That's my dilemma here.
We get that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I guess the other...
Just asking for a hearing.
Mark, other points? Let's...
Yeah, you know, the other thing that I have, I guess I'm going to have to say it this way. I'm going to call it, you know, potential zoning violation. How does it impact this person in this property? It doesn't. If there's a violation, then let the zoning office deal with the property owner. If it's not being built to code, that's the property owner's problem. If it's not being built per the zoning code, well, that's the property owner's problem. I don't know how it impacts. And, you know, this is, if I drove by and looked at a house and said, well, that doesn't look like it's up to code, and I, you know, I'm gonna submit I'm gonna go in and talk to the zoning office about that.
Okay, so at this point, we're really not supposed to know what his
complaint
is.
Right. We're
so let's pretend that we don't know. So we can't. We shouldn't use that as a criteria for whether we're going to have a hearing.
I agree.
So I would leave that out of whether we decided there's a hearing.
I'd recommend that you look at section 301.05 of your zoning resolution as far as the responsibility of your zoning inspectors. And read that before you make any decisions. Because that's what wasn't followed for me.
I had one question. Can complaints made anonymously in the township?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, then let's follow up with that.
Mm-hmm. Someone complains anonymously, who are they going to
Right.
We can't require the township to follow up with the complaint.
Right. What's the protocol?
To complainant.
Right. Right. Exactly.
If they
What's
choose
the protocol?
Not,
the protocol right. is to deal with the violator, mm-hmm. not to deal with the with the complainant.
Right. So if someone can file anonymously, then we can't require the township to follow up with a complaint.
Exactly. Because there's no one to follow
right.
up with.
Right.
So how do you make that incumbent on them to follow up with them?
Right.
This is an administrative appeal, though. It's not for the homeowner. This was done by your administration, not the homeowner.
I think we move on, Mark. Okay. He's had an opportunity to speak, and we appreciate it.
Okay.
We move on. We're not going to argue with him.
Okay. I pretty much have made most of my points. You know, because administrative appeals, I've never seen one as long as I've been on the board in 12 years. Not to say that they can't happen or shouldn't happen, but I think it's fine that they do happen. But I think, I don't personally, and I'm only one vote, I don't personally think that this merits a hearing. And you guys can all disagree with me. Absolutely, you can disagree with me. But I don't believe, and based on what the county prosecutor, our attorney, our counsel says, that it doesn't, and I agree. That's really all I have.
Mark, that's what it comes down to me. We have a professional who's giving us professional advice,
right.
having thoroughly analyzed the situation.
Right.
And he's recommending to us that we don't have jurisdiction to proceed right. with this
Probably
case.
Probably not.
No.
Right, so I'm gonna make a motion that we deny the appeal for lack of jurisdiction.
All right, any further discussion? And I want to give this person, the complainant, and I want to give everybody an opportunity to discuss this. But, you know, we are flying a little blind here because we don't know what the potential violation is. But by the same token, I think staff has handled it in the normal course of business. I think the way it was handled, I wouldn't recommend. I mean, how would you, if you went back to, you know, 100 and, well, now it's probably 140 days, how would you have handled this any differently? Well, and I think a lot of it revolves around how the violation was conveyed, how the complainant is impacted, and the time frame between when the administrative decision was made and when the appeal was made. I think those are the three factors. And like I said, I'm only one vote here. I'm not trying to influence anybody, but that's my opinion. So, anybody else? So,
I can appreciate Mr. Whelan's position, but again, it's my understanding from the letter that our council wrote.
I think you guys should have a responsibility to hear the case. And if you don't hear the case, you're just sweeping stuff under the rug. If you want to hear the case, hear the case. What are you guys afraid of? That's what I'm saying. Why can't you hear the case? Nobody else will hear the case. And the BZA is the only ones responsible for an administrative appeal. There's no other place to take it unless I have to go to the courts. So.
Does council have any guidance on this?
This will be a decision of the BZA that can be appealed under Chapter 2506 of the revised code, an administrative appeal to the Court of Common Pleas.
To the Court of Common Pleas.
Absolutely.
So if I have to do that, then that's just going to be a big mess of stuff or whatever. I'd rather have the case heard here on a small scale without getting into a bunch of attorney stuff with it.
Is there an issue if we decide?
I don't want a gun held in my head that we have to hear this right. because you're threatening me.
That's the only recourse we have
well,
for zoning
in,
code.
In my opinion, if it does go to the Court of Common Pleas, the only issue is whether or not you have jurisdiction.
Right.
And that court, I presumably would only remand it back and say you should hear it. That would be the way I would expect a case to go in the Court of Common Pleas.
Well,
so they'll either say they don't have to hear it or they have to hear it.
Right. I again, you know, courts can be unpredictable sometimes, but I think the law would say, yeah, that they would either affirm your decision, yes, the appeal was late and was dismissed properly, or they would say, they would remand it back and say, hear his appeal. I don't know if they would go to the meat and potatoes because you have not considered it.
And I only bring it up because I wasn't privileged to that information within the 20-day period. If they would have told me that they had a decision and sent the decision to me back in October, then I would have felt I could have filed the appeal within the 2-4 days right afterwards, and we wouldn't be having this question about the appeal time frame wise. Otherwise, I'm just trying to be transparent on this stuff, and it sounds like everything's getting swept under the rug, and it has been or whatever and stuff on it. You know, I'm not going to get into the facts of the case and that type of business and stuff of it, but I've got, you know, that could all come out in the hearing very easily. And whatever decision you guys make at the hearing, I'm fine with anything. I just want to have the hearing on it.
Mr. Whelan, you have to appreciate that we have rules to follow.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I'm trying to follow your rules too.
But you haven't shown us where there was a requirement that decision.
You don't want me to get into the case.
Where are we required to do that? Our counsel said we're not required to do that.
Mr. I don't know where he's getting it. Look, let's look at section 301 for a second.
I did. It's not there. I don't see anything that requires us to provide you with a copy of the decision.
That's the old one. That's the old one.
Well, we'll have to look in the zoning resolution as far as where.
Please.
As far as
I assume that our counsel's already checked that and can't find it. And he said our counsel's already checked that and can't find it.
Can't find what? Where I can
No.
How I.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Hold on. Where we're required to provide you with a copy of the decision.
No.
That's the starting point. Let's start there.
I have an email from Joe Schaefer saying he cannot provide me with a copy. It is not the practice of their board, the zoning board, to provide a homeowner or an outside third party with a copy of their decision that they make.
And where have you found a point that's contrary to that?
Go to 301 in the zoning code and show me where
it is. Where does it say that Joe had an obligation to provide it to you? That's all we're asking you.
I'm just saying, how can I file an appeal if I can't get a decision?
We have to follow the rules.
Wait, well, that's a rabbit hole then. Nobody can do anything, right? How can I file an appeal if I can't get the decision?
If you're one of the property owners, you were required to provide it to the property owners.
It's an administrative appeal because somebody didn't do their job at the administration level, not the property owner.
I'm not here to argue with you. I'm just saying, show me where we're required to provide you with a copy of the decision. That's what our counsel said. We don't have jurisdiction. We have to follow the rules.
You guys don't. You're not. The BZA doesn't have to provide me a copy of the stuff.
Joe Schaefer
does.
The zoning. Show me where he has to provide you with a copy of it.
Well, as soon as my attorney called in and asked for a copy of it, he was provided a copy of it. How's come I wasn't
read
provided
the letter,
a copy
he
of
said
it?
He was provided a courtesy copy.
Right. He was provided a courtesy
copy.
So how can anybody file an appeal if they don't have the information? Where am I supposed to get the information?
Property owners are entitled to it.
The property owner doesn't know about it.
This is a shouting match.
I'm sorry. The property owner doesn't know about it. And it's being covered up by the zoning inspector. So I'll just have to appeal it to the common court. That it'll come back to you guys at that point.
You do have a recourse, yeah.
That's the only recourse we have.
Okay, I'm good with that. Let's
go ahead.
Call the vote.
If we did have a hearing and we technically don't have jurisdiction, just based on the current resolution, does that pose a problem for the board? Your opinion was we don't have jurisdiction, but we had it have it anyway.
Well, I mean,
technically, does that?
So there are other property owners involved. Obviously, they could file a lawsuit. Claiming that you don't have jurisdiction.
Okay.
The 20-day window is there for a reason, too. So just as a practical matter,
okay.
You should follow your zoning.
Why is the 20-day window there, Mark? What's that for? Why is a 20-day window?
You know, I don't
and
know
why
how
it
got there.
Why isn't the public aware of that?
So there is no set date or a number of days in the revised code. So you could argue that 20 days is unreasonable, but that's a high-level argument, and 126 is so many more than 20 that...
I would agree. It went on and on and on. I tried to get response. I called you all the time. Called your boss, Chris Betts. Talked to him, trying to get a hold of you.
Yeah, you and I can talk after. I mean, we don't make any decisions. We give advice, and the township makes decisions.
Exactly, and you told me to go talk to Joe Schaefer and stuff, and I'd go back and forth and talk to Joe Schaefer. Then Joe Schaefer would say, I got to talk to the prosecutors about it. I'm not making any decision until I talk to the prosecutor. Another month goes by, and then another month, and another month until my attorney finally calls, and then we get a letter that you guys had already sent a decision back to the people back in October. And I was, and all this time goes by, and I was talking about getting a decision, and I didn't get it until December when my attorney called in. But you had already had a letter back to the decision was already made back in October, September, August type of business. So I wasn't privileged to any of that information.
Well, the black hole here that seems confusing is that there's also standing issues, and the chair kind of talked about that. But you can't decide that without more facts. So that would require a hearing. So, and that's what, you know, he's not provided notice because he's not, an affected property owner? That all the standing issues, that's a whole nother ball of wax.
That's a whole nother rabbit hole to go down.
So that if a court decides that they should hear it, then those will become issues in the hearing as well, I would assume. So.
Okay. So, can you repeat the motion, Mark, please? Sorry to put you on the spot.
I think I said that I move that we deny or reject the application that we've received for an appeal for lack of jurisdiction.
Okay. And Dorothy, you seconded?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to call a vote. Mr. Carlson?
Yes.
Ms. Yu?
Yes.
Yes.
Ms. Driscoll? Chair votes yes. So I guess the next course is appeal through the courts. Comment, please.
Can I get my $600 back for that application?
That's something you have to discuss with staff. So, okay, anything else? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Then we are adjourned at 8:15.